You're listening to the Tech Marketer Podcast, the podcast for marketers who strive to be continuously improving, who understand that our world is constantly changing and it's up to us to keep growing and learning. Because what works today probably won't work tomorrow. Hi, welcome to episode 2 of the Tech Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Williams. Thanks for listening. If you tuned in last week, you would have heard our interview with Greg of Concentrate, where we talked about how New Zealand tech marketers compare to our counterparts in the US. Each week, I'll be alternating between interviews with leading tech marketers like Greg and shorter knowledge bite sessions. Today, I'll be sharing my personal advice on designing your marketing technology stack. I'm not going to be telling you what tools to choose, as every company will need something different depending on their own growth stage, culture, and goals. But I will share the processes and questions to consider when designing or improving your marketing technology stack. So let's start at the beginning. What is a marketing technology stack, and why is it so challenging to find the right mix? A marketing technology stack is a grouping of tools that helps marketers do their job. It's just a fancy way to say the tools and technology you use. It might include your web platform or social media tools, a CRM, and a marketing automation software tool. When it works well, it makes processes easier and helps you improve all of your activities, driving better return on investment by collecting data and feedback. However, when it doesn't work, it becomes a source of frustration, and a marketing stack can quickly add tension between teams and suck up precious time and resources. ChiefMarket.com put together a single slide that overviews all of the marketing technology choices we can now pick from across categories like content management, collaboration, and social. This one slide contains a staggering 3,874 solutions. And yes, it looks as crazy as it sounds. But the scary part is that this time last year, the same diagram had 2,000 solutions on it. And back in 2011, it was just 150 solutions. So it's easy to see how you can get overwhelmed. But with all good marketing, don't let the new shiny toys distract you from the fundamentals. Before looking at even a single product demo, have a think about these things. Customer flow. How do potential customers move from awareness to acquisition and retention? The challenges. What are we currently doing at each point of this process? What is broken? And what is working well? Collaboration. Who else needs to use these tools, and what other tools are already in use? Data. How does data move between our tools? Are there gaps in our knowledge? Growth. What does the future look like? How will this technology stack need to grow with our company? Culture. Is change and new tools embraced or met with caution? And finally, choices. How do I choose, and how do I make smart decisions quickly? Let's delve into each of these steps, and I'll share some personal tips. Step 1, customer flow. When you're designing your marketing technology stack, like any other part of your strategy, the focus should be on your customer. I'm sure you're familiar with classic marketing and sales funnels where you plot out the customer journey from awareness through to purchase. I also like formats like Pirate Metrics used by many startups. This framework covers acquisition, activation, retention, referral, and revenue. A-A-R-R-R, or R, hence the name Pirate Metrics. Whatever format you choose to use to build your funnel, my top tip for this stage of planning is to go lo-fi. Grab some post-it notes and a whiteboard and visualize the process for your customer. Think about how a person moves through each stage. What messages do you send them? How do you send these? What information do you collect? And where does it live? This process will help clarify the next step. Step 2, identifying your challenges. Designing your marketing technology stack or improving a part of it is time consuming. There's time spent researching, implementing, training teams, and testing whether it's working. It's not something you want to be doing all the time, and when you bring on a new tool, you want it to be the right choice the first time. You probably have a gut feel already, but clarifying your current challenges is an important step. When you have a clear visual picture of your customer journey, you'll start to see where things are breaking down or could be done better. With so many choices of marketing technology, Google is a really hard place to start your search. You'll get overwhelmed with the choices and bombarded by sales pitches and features. Trust me, even visiting the website of a marketing automation tool is likely to get you a fair amount of their salespeople's attention. So take a step back and start by finding out what's broken first. What things do you wish you could do but can't now? This process will help you figure out your criteria list, and most importantly, do you really need another tool, or should you be looking to consolidate two tools into one better one? It's valuable to talk to other teams and to find out how they move customers along the journey also. It's likely these points where you hand off responsibility from marketing to other teams, which brings me along to step three, collaboration. The marketing technology stack doesn't live in isolation. It's likely to be closely coupled to other teams like product development, customer success, and of course sales. And each of these teams will have their own tools that need to work with yours. Some tools like Intercom can be used by all of these teams too. Think about how you share information internally and collaborate with other teams. In my experience, sales teams want to spend their time selling. So make it as easy as possible for them to do this, while still providing you with the data you need. Be realistic, but not too optimistic, about how much time those and other teams will spend updating your systems and tools. Make the process as effortless as possible for salespeople, or else you'll constantly be pushing things uphill. You'll probably find this leads you towards tools that have good integrations. For example, rather than constantly reminding your sales team to talk to their customers about every e-newsletter that you send, you could consider integrating MailChimp with your CRM. That way, when they go to call a customer, they can see what they've opened recently. Help the sales team to understand how this will help them close effectively, and you're more likely to have a better chance of success. I know that the marketing automation tool Pardot is favored by many marketers who already use Salesforce CRM. This is because Pardot is made by Salesforce, so they obviously work well together. But it's not the final story, and many other sales tools will also integrate well, and it's more likely that you'll be fitting together a multitude of tools made by different companies. So keeping data synced between these systems can become tricky. If this is a challenge you identify in your customer mapping and collaboration steps, then you may need to consider this. Step 4. The single source of data truth. Is there one place where all of the data in your organization can be checked against? Does this place live in marketing, customer support, sales, or finance? It's an important question to answer and one to get agreement on. Recently, I had the pleasure of hearing Jolene McKeeskey, Xero's Marketing Operations and Automation Director, speak about their journey to adopting Marketo. I'll share her slides in the show notes for you to check out. Jolene spoke about the importance of getting your data in shape before adopting a full marketing technology stack. At Xero, they have a central product database that acts as the source of truth for every team. Now, each team has their own tools that pull from this source of truth and add back to it. But having one master database is a big part of ensuring that every tool is linked and that every team is working together. A single source of data truth avoids awkward situations, like sending a current customer a message asking if they want a trial when they've already been using your product for months. It's important to work with your IT side, so your CTO or your CIO, and other team leads. So firstly, it's agreed where this data lives, and secondly, it's architected in a sensible way. Declaring a single source of data truth is important. Make sure everyone knows how this works, and that it's everyone's joint responsibility to protect it, keep it up to date, and it's treated with reverence, because your database is one of your biggest assets. But working well with other teams might seem like a fairy tale to you, depending on your current company culture. So let's get into step 5, working within your existing culture. Here's the single biggest thing I want to share with you about marketing technology today. It really doesn't matter what tool you choose. What matters the most is who's using it, and what processes are in place to ensure it's used properly. It's a very obvious step, but it's often overlooked. I haven't yet had a product demo where someone's asked me, what's the culture of your company? Do people have time to learn new tools, or is this going to be met with resistance? Now, this amazes me because I personally feel like culture is critical to the success or failure of any tool adopted. For example, imagine an organization where the CIO and CMO don't get along. It's quite feasible that the CIO will jettison a new system purely because it wasn't their idea or it doesn't fit with their view of how the IT should run. Sounds crazy? It happens all the time. So what culture do you work in? Will people enthusiastically get on board with new tools? Or is it a better idea to launch a small pilot program with a few motivated individuals to spread your idea? How do people upskill normally? Should you send around some email materials or have an interactive lunch session? And finally, why should people care enough to stop what they see as a top priority and learn this new tool? How will they be more successful or efficient afterwards? Shockingly, you're often going to need to market your own technology choices internally. But hey, that comes naturally to us, right? Okay, so we're nearly at the end of our steps. It's time to start thinking about future-proofing. Step 6, growing your technology stack. Most companies want to be selling more in the future. Not many aim to stay exactly the same size. So think about the next few years ahead. And even though it's hard to predict in tech, think about what that might hold for you. Think high level about your company goals. Are you planning to open international offices? If so, how does this tool work with co-located teams? Are you planning to double your user base? That's great, but beware of hidden costs, especially for tools that charge per user. And here's the reality. Unless you choose something massively overscoped now, you're going to outgrow it one day. I'd always lean towards picking the best tool for now and the foreseeable future, rather than going with something too complicated because you think it will fit you in 3 to 5 years. Keep it as simple as possible. For example, if you're a new startup with 2 or 3 people working with you, then a Google Docs spreadsheet is a perfectly acceptable first CRM. Don't waste time setting up Salesforce that you could be using to talk to your customers and find product market fit. Also, you're going to be paying hugely for a tool you can't fully utilize yet. Keep it simple. It's a good motto even when you're choosing between thousands of marketing technology brands. Which leads nicely to the final step. It's only now that we start thinking about making choices and tools. Step 7. What's the right tool? Like I mentioned earlier, there's actually no such thing as the right tool. But there is always the best fit for your company and your situation. My advice is talk to your peers first, especially marketers in similar size organizations. Find out what they use and their experiences. You'll learn a lot more this way than by listening to sales pitches. I often catch up with marketers I know from meetups or similar networking groups when evaluating new tools. This helps me overcome choice paralysis and shortlist some tools recommended to me by people I respect. Trust me, this is a lot easier than simply Googling marketing automation. When we started investing more time and resources into content marketing for lead generation at Silverstripe, we identified we needed a better way of tracking leads, qualifying them, and then passing from marketing to sales. What we really needed was a marketing automation platform, but these are costly both in terms of software fees and also time to set up. We were already using Intercom for our product support, so instead of adding a whole new tool, we simply extended the features of Intercom we used. This meant we could focus most of our time on proving the value of content marketing and not on setting up new tools. But Intercom isn't a marketing automation platform, so it wasn't going to do everything we needed out of the box. I started by picking the brains of other marketers I knew that were using Intercom. They were further along the process and moving towards more sophisticated automation tools, but this was actually great timing for me. I got to hear what was good and bad about making Intercom fit into this use case. And I went into it with eyes wide open, knowing we'd likely outgrow the tool very quickly. This meant that I limited the time we invested into integrating it with other systems. Honestly, behind the scenes, there was a lot of duct tape holding it together, but it worked. And it worked well enough to prove 3 things. That content marketing generated valuable leads for us. That it was efficient for marketing to pre-qualify these before handing to sales. And that investing in a full marketing automation tool would be worthwhile. We treated Intercom as a proof of concept. We spent the majority of our time testing content and customer journeys. We found parts of Intercom that worked really well and will definitely keep, like their live chat. We also identified the things that would be non-negotiable in our next tool choice, like holistic user profiles and integration with our CRM. If we'd leapt straight into Pardot or Marketo, I suspect we'd still be figuring out how to use it now, and we'd focused way too much on the tool and not enough on the customer journey. Realize that no tool is perfect. Everyone you talk to will have both pros and cons to every tool. The most important factor is the people using it, and if you have a clearly defined customer flow, you understand the current issues you face, and you're working within your culture and the other tools that are already in use, you have a much higher chance of designing a marketing technology stack that works well for your team and your goals. So that's my personal advice on how to design your marketing technology stack. Don't forget to let me know what you think of this episode by rating it on iTunes, and you can see all the show notes and links mentioned at www.techmarketer.org. Make sure you tune in next week, where I'm interviewing Serge Van Dam, an amazing consultant and advisor for many high-growth tech companies around New Zealand. We're going to be chatting about content marketing and marketing accountability, and I've learned heaps from Serge over the last year, so you're not going to want to miss this one. Thanks for listening. I hope you've learned something new today.